little bit about his performing group, the Lebanese folk music performing group called the Arabian Nights. So, Daddy, how did you get started with the Arabian Nights? I mean, how did that? Okay, and we're going.
My name is Anthony Thomas. I'm Patricia's father. Back about over 65 years ago, my dad used to love to sing while he was doing his work. He was quite fond of poetry, and he had a fair voice. But my mother had the sweetest voice, but she don't know anything about poetry, but she would learn from my dad. And yours truly would be listening to all this going on. So to pick out the best voice was my mother had the voice, but my father would know how to put poetry together. So I started to sing with him and listen. Listen to the Arabic music, as he would put it into words. He would put the words into music. But yeah, like I say, his voice wasn't that great. But my mother would listen in the meantime. But my mother had a sweet voice, and she would learn. So I started to hum a little bit and listen. And to learn this lingo, you really had to have, well, maybe I should say a twisted tongue to learn the lingo. So I learned it. And everybody in my family knew the Arabic language because we had no alternative, because my dad, when he came to this country here, all he knew was Arabic, and that is all. But he learned the English, don't you think he did? My dad came from a little village called Ihmish, Lebanon. It's about 30 miles or maybe 35 miles away from Beirut, Lebanon. And my mother came from there too. But they didn't know each other too much over there. And they all came to this country here. And he met her over here and he married her. So now he had, my sister was born. I came next. And my sister came third, my other sister. And then my brother, who was the baby. So my dad used to be singing while he was planting his tomatoes and his cucumbers and string beans. He would be singing in the yard.
What would he be singing?
He would be singing poetry.
Like what?
I am going to sing a few songs for you.
Well, try one. Just give us
what my dad used to sing. The poetry would be called Mijena and Ateba. The Mijena was the chorus to sing the verses and all that. The Ateba was the poetry itself. And yours truly, I picked it up. Nice to sing. He used to tell me, I want you to sing more than that. And pay attention to what I'm saying. But like I say, his voice, oh, was something else. But my mother, she had a sweet voice, and she would learn. She would sing to me when I would tell her to sing something to me, because I liked their voice. So right now, I was about maybe 11, 12 years old. It was so far back.
How old are you now?
Now I'm 75. I'm a young fella yet. So I'm going to sing you a song now, some of the songs my dad used to make up himself. But it was good poetry. It had to rhyme. It had to have the music to it. So I'm sitting here with my daughter, Patricia, and I'm going to sing you a little song, and yet I'm going to play a drum by myself so you can hear it. I can't play the tambourine and the drum at the same time. The drum is called a tom-tom. The tambourine is called a duff. It's spelled D-A-F-F.
And the tom-tom is called?
Dirbaki. The tom-tom is a dirbaki. The tom-tom, which is called a dirbaki in Arabic, was given to me, it was shipped to me from Lebanon. A priest got it for me. Then it was given to me by my brother-in-law. And my brother was Sam Abraham from Rhode Island. And he gave it to me, and I still have it. It's 50 years old now, but I know it's older than that. Because 50 years that I had it.
Play a little, or just hear it. Yeah. With that, no kidding.
And here goes one poetry that my dad taught me. Mi jana wea, mi jana wea, mi jana. Humb al watan ma al hali. This is the first part of the beginning of the Mijena and the Ateba. What I have sung right now is always love your country and your father's country where he come from. Always, as you are going, singing and living. This is the song that I'm singing to you. You know, I got to tell you that I am not a commentator. I am not a speechwriter. And at my age, you just have to take what I'm saying, but it is the truth. In my own simple American language, I'm telling you the best way I could. Now I'm going to sing you one poetry in Ateba. And the song is that my father had used to sing, that I hope to God someday that I can go back to my fatherland country and sing in the hills and the mountains like he used to. And it's hard for me to explain to you how nice the country is with its hills and its valleys. And especially in the summertime, although the winter is very, very mild there, not like here, snow every other day. So here goes.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Rudni Al-Ahmish. وطننا تهز جراسها بيدي وطننا يا 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 بي كم مرة الفكر نبهني وطننا تأرجع للحما من بعد الغياب يا 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 بي يا عيني يا عيني يا عيني يا ماما يا بني يا المسبحتك سبع بيوت عندك دمي واماني يا المسبحتك سبع بيوت عندك دمي واماني صلي منها خمس بيوت وخلي البقوي من شاني امان يا ابن العم.
Is improvisational music. You make it up on the spot. It has to rhyme. But what is the usual subject matter? Like, what is it usually about? You said your father...
You can pick any subject. Two people can sing with against each other. One would be, let's say it's about the land where they come from, the village. One guy can say, my village is better than your village. My village produces olives. It produces rare ripes, green beans, tomatoes. Yours is all sandy. It doesn't produce anything like that. So they will fight with each other in music, only in music, not fighting, fist fight or anything like that. No, you know?
And was it in a formal Arabic or was it in like regular, you know?
No, regular Arabic. But the words are put into poetry, and then it's put into music. They will answer each other back, you know. There's four verses, four lines to each song. Then the other fella, he answers him back with the same thing in four lines, you know.
And then the Mijena part is when
then
they
both
chorus,
sing together.
Uh-huh.
No hard feelings, no animosity or anything like that. They sing back. Mijena or Ateba together.
So were you being taught about Lebanon by this song? Like, was your father telling you about Lebanon?
Yes, my dad would explain everything to me. And when I was in 1984, I went to Lebanon myself. I went, I had some business to attend to, and at the same time I met my relatives there. And what my father used to tell me, and I looked at the hills, the mountains, and the donkeys and the horses they had there, everything was almost the same. Nothing's changed in the village. But if you go into Beirut and you go to the other big cities, there is a little different, you know?
Was the music the same?
Oh, yeah, the music is the same, you know? Some had better voices than other. And that made a lot of difference. It's the voice with the people that counted a lot. Even when they sang, they love the voice.
How about the pronunciation?
Oh, the pronunciation is the same thing. You would understand them, you know.
Did they feel that your pronunciation?
Some of the Arabic is deep Arabic, and you gotta really put your ear to know what they're saying. It's just like in the American language. Sometimes the guy makes a speech all day long. He's talking big words. You don't understand a thing he's telling you, you know what I mean? But you know what it's about, but it's hard to understand.
Did they feel that they could understand your Arabic? Was it accurate? Did you learn?
Oh, yeah, the Arabic was accurate. I got along fine with them.
When you sang?
When I sang, and they understood what I said. Not that they did. They did. And then even the French came in a little bit over there, because they speak French in Lebanon, especially in my village, my father's village. They all spoke fluently French and Arabic, of course. Let me think.
I mean, he said to you, I want you to sing more. How old were you, 12?
Well, I was about 9, 10, 12 years old, and 11, 12. And then I picked it up. I loved it. I picked it up. I would listen to other people. I would listen to records that came from Lebanon and people that would sing, you know. Although I wasn't born in Lebanon, I'm an American, I was born here, but I learned it.
But did you learn from listening to other American Lebanese groups?
I listened to other
groups.
People.
What were the other groups in those days?
Other groups were people from there, but they knew the Arabic fluently because they were born there.
Who was that? So you were American Lebanese.
Oh, I was an American Lebanese. I was born here, then I got drafted to
Well, how were you able to compare to people from there who were singing, because you used to get bookings, so did they teach you as well, the other guys from Lebanon, or you knew the language really well?
No. Nobody taught me when I went to Lebanon how to sing, how to talk. My father, my uncle, we had a school teacher here used to teach Arabic, and I went to it. I didn't do so great with it, but yet my music was always with me.
How old were you when you decided to start the group, the Arabian Nights? How did that come about?
Well, I have a cousin and another friend of ours, Mr. Edward Corey. He used to play the tom-tom. He got playing the tom-tom.
The didabah.
And he spoke Arabic, too, just like I did. And we started by myself, Mr. Corey, and Mr. Anthony Thomas.
How old were you?
We were about, I would say about 13 at that time, 13, 14 years old. And he started to play in the dirbaki, Eddie Corey. And I played the tambourine. And my cousin Tom played the oud, which is called the lute. It's quite an instrument. So we formed these three of us, we started forming it. And we called it the Arabian Nights.
How did you get that name?
Well, we saw it in a book, the Arabian, and in a movie, and then we picked it up and we said that to call the Arabian Nights. Then we started to get, they heard about us, and people would call us from Springfield, Boston, Cleveland, Ohio, Detroit, Michigan, Waterville, Maine, Gloucester. I could name quite a few places for you. But I don't know them all right now. But some of these are them. Then we split out of town, too. And they would, for example, we played in Waterville, Maine. They called us up. They said, we want you to play. They offered us so much money and lodging and to stay over. This was a three-day affair. You had to have a lot of language, a lot of music. You had a lot of songs you had to keep in there, you know. And, you know, people like to dance with the music, not only sing. We sing, we make music, but people love to dance, especially the men, the women, you know. And the biggest dance was the dabki. That would be the folks sang, dancing.
So what kind of songs did you sing? Ateba was not for dancing.
No, when it comes to dancing, that wasn't Ateba.
What kind of music? Is there a special name for that kind of music?
Yes, there is. Like, for example, you want to do the dabki, well, then you'd have to sing song that would be for the dabki.
So were they called dabki songs?
Yeah, they would call dabki songs. Or if a girl danced alone, we would sing a song for her that goes for that kind of music. But as far as, and then everybody would join in. The line would be maybe about 30 feet long. Everybody's dancing. And then the leader.
How did you get your bookings, your jobs? Okay.
After the age of 18, I went in the service for about 3 years. I came home, and my cousin says, hey, Tommy, we can make a few dollars. Money was tight. He said, we can make a few dollars if we get this band back together. And Mr. Corey said the same thing. So we did. And we played and started at Fall River. We played in nightclubs. You know?
Do you remember the name of it?
Oh, yeah. Some nightclub was in Mattapoisett, New Bedford, Fall River.
The Cape.
And the Cape. The Blue Moon was one of them. And the guy would say, I said, gee, we don't have too many audience in here. You know, it's a shame playing. He said, don't worry about it. He says, this is the first start. This is the first time to start. So after we play a little while, and then the next week, we'll get more. Finally, we went back and played, and the place started to fill up. And people heard that. Hey, listen, the Arabian Nights, we can use them here. Have some, you know, foreign entertainment.
Who were the audience? Were they Lebanese Americans?
No, they were mixed.
Everybody. It was the late 40s, and you come back from the war, and, you know.
I came back in 1946 from the service. I spent about 3 years in Europe, and I went to all over Europe. And the Arabic language came in handy when I went to Marseille, France. That came in handy. When we got back, all the boys got back together here, and we all got little jobs. And then some of us went back to school. Not working, going back to school. So to make a few extra dollars to work, to have a few dollars in your pocket, we started to make music again. And when we made music, we started to get calls. Play in this club, play in this. And the outings were like on a Saturday and Sunday. We even took them jobs. We didn't get paid much, but enough to get by, you know. And
did you enjoy it?
We enjoyed every bit of it. Every bit of it. We enjoyed.
Did you practice? Did you get together during the week? How did you practice?
Yeah, we practice. We come up with numbers. When we hear a number on the radio or anything like that, we would listen to it. And then I would sing it and practice it. And then it worked out.
Did you make up any of your own songs?
No, I didn't make those songs. Those songs were already made up. But they were nice songs. But the idea is you got to learn them. You got to pick up the Arabic language and get the music correctly, too.
Did you sing any of the songs that your father taught you?
Oh, yeah. I sang quite a few numbers with my dad. I even still remember some of them, even at this age. Even at the age of 75, I still remember them. I haven't lost them. But to sing a Dabki song and the people to do the Dabki, that would be a folks dance. Everybody gets together and dance. It used to be like Ala Dal'una. That's for a Dabki. Then, if you want one person to like to be dancing alone, the music changes a little bit there. You will sing like, I would sing like, Layya Layya Ya Binayya Ya Layya Al-Bawad Dawiya Ya Layya Jarahati Kalbi Rudissa Walab Alayya. That would be for girls and boys dancing alone. And those are the difference in making the music for people to dance, and poetry, that would be by itself. It wouldn't be for dancing.
And so, what about the Ala Dal'una? Can you give us an example?
Dal'una, Ala Dal'una.
What does that mean?
You could sing, you could do, that would be for Dabki.
What does Ala Dal'una mean? What do the words mean?
That all her friends were with her, had left her, gone somewhere else, you know? That's a Dal'una, but I am not that.
Ala Dal'una.
I know. But don't ask me to. This song, Ala Dal'una, that's a Dabki song where everybody gets together and they dance and they have a leader which leads them. And they're all in step. Everybody's got to be in step. The music is playing, the tambourine, the Dabki, the oud, and the vocalist who sings it too. So I'm gonna give you a little song of it now, a little bit of it. Ala Dal'una wa Ala Dal'una wa rahul habib ma wada'una Ala dalalik Ala Dal'una rahul habib ma wada'una يا رب وديني ساعة عبلادي وعمل عرزة لي عرس الوادي غني عتبة وغني بغنادي
غني يا ليلي وغني دلعونا على دلالك على دلعونا راحوا الحبايب ما ودعونا.
What is Bighdadi? Those are kinds of songs, right?
No, Bighdadi is another form of music. Another form of music. The guy sings that all alone himself. It's a little deep Arabic, but it's good. People listen to it. And
can you give us an example of that?
محلاها النوم تحت الزيتونة محلاها العيش فصل الصيفي محلاها الدبك بأرض البرية ويا محلى السكرة عالكب الني محلاها النوم تحت الزيتونة.
Excellent. What does that mean?
It means dancing. It rhymes, doesn't it?
Say the phrase, say it, and then explain it. Translate it.
محلى العيش فصل الصيفي. What a life it is to be in the village when the sun is out in the summertime. محلاها العيش فصل الصيفي ومحلاها الدبكي بأرض البرية. Well, you could do the dabki in the wilderness of the mountain. ويا محلى السكرة عالكب الني محلاها النوم تحت الزيتونة.
And what's that mean?
It means you can sleep in the middle of the afternoon in Lebanon under the olive trees.
While they're making kibbinaya?
While you're making kibbinaya, you can drink arak with it, and it's good for you. Yep.